General Electric once stood as the crown jewel of American capitalism, the world's most valuable company, worth nearly $600 billion when Jack Welch handed leadership to Jeff Immelt in 2001. Within 2 decades, this corporate colossus would collapse, losing over 80% of its value and erasing hundreds of billions in shareholder wealth. How could such a mighty enterprise, the company that literally brought electricity to America and pioneered everything from light bulbs to jet engines, fall so spectacularly? This story of meteoric rise and devastating decline offers a cautionary tale about leadership that transcends business circles. As Warren Buffett observed, Xi's downfall represents a classic example of the difficulty of evaluating what looks easy. Behind the gleaming corporate headquarters and impressive quarterly reports lurked fundamental flaws that would eventually bring this American icon to its knees. When Thomas Edison's company merged with Thomson Houston in 1892 to form General Electric, Edison was deeply opposed, turning as white as his collar at the news. The merger terms favored Thomson Houston shareholders 5-3 over Edison General's 1-1 exchange, leaving Edison with less than 10% ownership in his namesake company. The new GE immediately faced the panic of 1893. Orders dropped 75%, 2/3 of workers were laid off, and mounting debt threatened bankruptcy. CEO Charles Coffin saved the company by selling securities at steep losses after securing J.P. Morgan's approval. This crisis transformed Coffin into a financial conservative. His principle, use cost or market value, whichever is the lower, would guide GE for decades, establishing a reputation for financial discipline that would later prove both a strength and a weakness. Jack Welch became CEO in 1981, launching GE's most transformative era. After navigating early politics, he outlined GE's future on a napkin with 3 circles: core businesses, high technology, and services. His mandate was clear. Anything outside these circles would be fixed, sold, or closed. Earning the nickname Neutron Jack, he eliminated 100,000 employees in his first 2 years while dismantling bureaucracy. His factory visits became legendary, striking fear in local managers. His most impactful move was expanding GE Credit, later GE Capital, from a small appliance financing unit into a financial giant. As Jack noted, to play with money was so much better than bending metal. By 2000, GE Capital grew from $67 million to $5.2 billion in earnings, leveraging GE's AAA credit rating to borrow at preferential rates. Jack's deal-making peaked with the $6.3 billion RCA acquisition, the largest non-oil merger in history at the time, completed in just 36 days. Under his leadership, GE's stock price rose 40-fold, cementing his legacy as a business icon. When Jeff Immelt took over on September 10, 2001, GE was trading near $40 per share with a market value approaching $400 billion. The very next day, the September 11 attacks immediately tested his leadership. With his executive team scattered across the country, Immelt coordinated GE's response through teleconferences as the company faced multiple crises. Employee deaths, canceled NBC commercials costing hundreds of millions, and billion-dollar insurance exposures. When markets reopened, GE stock immediately lost $40 billion in value, with another $50 billion vanishing 3 days later. Many observers believed Immelt should have used this moment to reset Wall Street's expectations about GE's earnings and N&N Jack's practice of managing earnings. Years later, Immelt admitted, "I wish I had reset the company in 2002. Instead, Immelt doubled down on Jack's strategy while trying to reduce GE's dependence on financial services. He sold NBC Universal to Comcast and made massive bets on the energy sector, culminating in the disastrous $13.7 billion acquisition of Alstom's power business in 2015. Meanwhile, the 2008 financial crisis nearly destroyed GE Capital, forcing the company to lobby desperately for inclusion in government bailout programs. By 2015, after 14 years at the helm, Immelt believed he had finally turned the GE battleship in the right direction. GE Capital was being unwound, and activist investor Trian Partners' $2.5 billion investment seemed to validate his strategy. One hedge fund investor remarked, "A year ago, only 25% of the people in this room would have supported Jeff. Today, he is a god." However, GE's power business, particularly after the Alstom acquisition, was imploding. The company had miscalculated market demand while maintaining an optimistic outlook. As pressure mounted to hit numbers, executives resorted to desperate measures, including building billions in inventory without orders. By 2017, Immelt's credibility had evaporated. After a disastrous analyst meeting where he defensively insisted on unrealistic earnings targets, Trian's Ed Garden called him to say, "It's over. People have stopped listening." John Flannery replaced Immelt, but lasted only 14 months before being ousted in favor of outsider Larry Culp, who would ultimately announce the end of General Electric after 129 years, breaking it into three separate companies. What killed GE? Steve Bolzay, who nearly became CEO, identified three C's that went wrong: capital allocation, corporate governance, and culture. Under both Welch and Immelt, too much capital went to GE Capital and unsuccessful acquisitions. The board grew too large and ineffective, and the company accumulated excessive debt. Most critically, GE's culture deteriorated from Jack's focus on execution and self-confidence to Immelt's relentless push for growth without sufficient focus on profitability. Financial analyst Jim Grant diagnosed GE's fundamental problem as a loss of moral compass and the conceit of a company believing it could do no wrong. This hubris led GE to operate without backup credit lines for billions in commercial paper, and to ignore the inherent cyclicality of financial services. As Grant told another CEO, GE would eventually have to burn their furniture to keep going. There was a lot of furniture burned until the kindling caught fire, and then it all went up in smoke. Despite GE's dramatic fall, its technological legacy remains formidable. With over 35,000 active patents, GE continues innovating with breakthroughs like the Affinity engines for supersonic jets and sustainable aviation fuels. At the research center in Niskayuna, scientists work on cutting-edge technologies like bioelectronic medicine and revolutionary manufacturing techniques. The story of General Electric offers profound lessons about corporate leadership. Success breeds complacency, financial engineering eventually fails, and even the mightiest companies can fall when they lose sight of their core purpose. Perhaps the greatest lesson is that sustainable business success requires more than charismatic leadership and financial wizardry. It demands honesty, adaptability, and a willingness to face hard truths rather than disguise them with accounting tricks and optimistic projections. As we witness the final chapter of this once great American institution, we're reminded that Edison's quote still adorns the lobby of GE's research center: "I find out what the world needs, then I proceed to invent it." In the end, what GE needed most, and failed to invent, was a way to honestly confront its own limitations.